Rebecca was saying that every time I give a talk here, she's always onto some fundraiser. All for a really, really, really good cause. It does remind me of the story of the barman here in Melbourne. He used to belong to, he probably still does, belong to one of those bikie gangs. This really big guy with lots of tattoos. And in his nightclub, there was a standing contest. Once he squeezed a lemon of all the juice to put in somebody's drink, if anybody else could take that lemon and squeeze three more drops out of it, they could get free drink. And all these football players, these weightlifters, these really big, strong laborers on work sites, they would try the contest and they could hardly ever squeeze anything out. At most, only one drop. And then one evening, this lady came in and she said, I'll give it a try. And you can't, all these big guys, they can't squeeze anything out of the lemon. I said, oh, let me have a try. And they and so the barman, he took the lemon and squeezed it all out for the drink for somebody else. And he gave the lemon to this girl. And this girl took the lemon and started squeezing it. One, two, three, seven drops came out of that lemon. Now, my goodness, even these big guys can't do that. And you're a woman, you're not very strong. How can you do that? And she said, oh, because I work on the fundraising committee of the BSB. I couldn't resist that impression. Well, okay, be generous, come on. You've got a lot of juice left in your lemon, so you can't take it with you. Don't give it to your kids. You give it to your kids, leave it to your kids, you spoil them. They don't have to go to work themselves. So do a good cause like the BSV Monastery Committee. Monastery Project, yeah, which is coming up soon. So, it's amazing I'm here back again. I was only here again last May, it's only a couple of months ago. And it's amazing what the BSV will do to try and get me here. They're arranging this change of the constitution just as an excuse to get me to give another talk on something or other. But, of course, it's very wonderful to be able to give a talk on the Dharma, to inspire people, to make people happy, and also to solve many of the problems in life. And of course, I'm really happy to see, you know, the BSV just change over those years, get bigger and bigger and stronger, and see even Buddhism getting stronger throughout our world, at least the world I go and visit, which is wonderful to see. And it's because the power of these teachings are amazing. We were talking earlier that sometimes that in some places there are too many rituals. Because there's too many rituals, people can't get to the heart of these Buddhist teachings. Now, even like the bowing ritual. Do you know why people bow in Buddhism? Has people explained that to you before? It is actually to make sure your tummy muscles get well exercised so you don't give away. This exercise. But if we know why we bow, then it's very easy to understand why we do that ritual. And I think I explained that last May when I was here. Now I bow to the virtue, peace and compassion when I bow. And I remember those things because to me that's what a Buddha statue stands for. So every time I put my head down, first of all, I'm worshipping virtue. Because it's very important. The fact that you're a good person and you're trustworthy. It's wonderful to be a person other people can trust. I still remember when I was a very young monk, and one of my old school friends came to visit me in Thailand. And I said, one of the most enjoyable things when you come to stay in a monastery in Thailand is to come on the morning alms route. Because it's really early in the morning, the weather's nice and cool, and you see all this inspiring faith of all the lay Buddhists who get up very early and just put a piece of rice in the monk's bowl. It's an ancient tradition. It's a very beautiful tradition. And when I told my friend that it starts at 5:30 in the morning, he said, forget it. Because now Westerners, they don't get up at 5:30 in the morning. I was noticing even breakfast we had this morning. We had our breakfast at 7 o'clock, and that was served by a couple of Sri Lankans, because you never find an Australian getting up at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning. At least it's very rare. But when I said, okay, it doesn't matter, I'll wake you up, I'll come to your room, and I'll knock on your door 5 minutes before we go on arms round. He said, thank you very much. And of course I did that the next morning, and as I was walking with him after the arms round, he said it was one of the strangest feelings he'd ever had in his life. Because when I said I would be there at 5:25 in the morning to knock on his door and wake him up, he said he knew I would be there. He could trust me. And he said, living in London, many people said they would be there and do these things, and they would never turn up. He said, because I was a monk and a good friend, he knew that he could trust me 100%. What a wonderful feeling that was for him. And that shocked me. I mean, how many people, you know, they say, yeah, they're going to be there, they're going to do something for you, and they don't turn up, they don't come. Isn't that sort of a terrible feeling inside of you? And to know that you can be trusted is a wonderful thing, which is one of the reasons why, as a monk, if I make a promise, I have to keep it. So I've been telling other people as well, you know, if you make a promise, you keep them too. You know, otherwise, it's letting other people down. It's lowering your standard of virtue. And if there is a problem, the aircraft gets delayed, or you get into your car breaks down, just call someone to tell them. But at least you're not letting them down. It's unforeseen circumstances, which means you don't get there on time. And because it's a retreat period, as you know, that the monks and the nuns go on a retreat this period, I did tell all my disciples over in Perth, and hopefully that Bhante Jag has asked you as well, please, out of respect for the Sangha during this 3 months, out of respect for everybody, please don't die during these 3 months. It's a lot of burden doing funeral services for people during the 3 months. So please don't be selfish and think of yourself and just go and die whenever you like to. Please think of the monks who will have to do all the services for you. And please put off dying until after the rage retreat is over. So after October, you can die whenever you like. But please don't die before. So that we can have a nice, peaceful time. So the virtue is a really good thing to have, and it means that we can trust one another, which means that we can not have to worry so much. That means that I worship that in our society, and I worship peace, peace between men and women, especially in a marriage. So please, don't argue with each other. If you are going to say anything, make sure you say some kind things to each other. They usually say you can tell how long a person's been married by how they speak to one another. The first year of marriage, it's usually the wife listens to the husband. The second year of marriage, the husband listens to the wife. In the third year of marriage, the neighbours listen to But isn't it wonderful? You've got to live with this person. You're stuck. So you might as well make something out of it. So learn to be peaceful, to be kind. That's the third thing I bow down to, compassion. Giving people the benefit of the doubt. You don't know why your husband did that. You don't know why your wife spent so much, but that's just what wives do. That's just what husbands are like. They're all the same. So just take it on the chin. But at least you can be peaceful and kind to one another. And that's why I bow down to those three things when I sort of do these little ceremonies. But unfortunately, there's so often in Buddhism, there's so many ceremonies that we don't really understand the real teachings and why we have those ceremonies there. And even the chanting which we do. Oh no, I know Pali, so when I do chanting, I know exactly what it means, and it's inspiring. But if you don't know the chanting, then we don't know what we're chanting. And it's true that I confess many times, one of the reasons why we do it in Pali so you don't understand is because we can make mistakes and you don't find out. And I did do that once. I did this I was doing a marriage, and I was doing the chanting for a marriage, and actually I was tired, and so I did the funeral chanting as well. But they're still happily married, so There's a lot of, you know, similarities between a marriage and a funeral. It's the death of your freedom, guys. You put yourself in a box called the home, and you can't get out. But no, it's nice to have that sort of understanding that the peace, compassion, you know, gives like a happy life. And part of Buddhism, when we take away the rituals, we get to the heart of Buddhism, it means that we can learn how to create peace and harmony and look after one another in the world with very simple teachings. One of the stories which comes up, because you know, you all know I did that open the door of your heart number one, open the door of your heart number two. It's already ready to go, coming out at the end of this year. So that's 108 new stories. And one of those stories is like how a mousetrap killed a chicken, a pig, and a cow. Have you heard the story before?
No.
See, new story. This is just a taster for the book coming out soon. But the trailer. This is a great one. I tell this to kids, but you're all big kids anyway. Somebody once said the reason why my talks are popular is because I teach.